WPX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Amid more immigration raids around the U.S., saying they won't hinder proper investigations, but adding that even undocumented immigrants have rights in America, Paterson, New Jersey Mayor Andre Saia condemning using fear as a weapon.
We're also receiving reports that people are not going to work, that children are not going to school, and people are reluctant to go and even visit their doctor.
U.S. public health officials have been told to stop working with the World Health Organization, effective immediately. Experts say the sudden change comes during bird flu outbreaks and could hurt efforts to stop Marburg virus and Mpox in Africa. In Nashville, Tennessee, a student rally at the state capitol. Gun control, they say. A student gunman opened fire at a local high school last week, killing one student before taking his own life. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. The deadline to send in your taxes is months away, but today is actually an important date in that process. Lisa Hale reports.
April 15th is the individual deadline to file Wisconsin and federal income tax forms. However, that doesn't mean you must wait until April to get started. The individual income tax filing season begins today, Monday, January 27th. This year, the Wisconsin Department of Revenue has several options for filing, including Direct File. That's an online service that allows eligible taxpayers to file directly with the IRS. The service now integrates with WisTax, allowing taxpayers to easily file state taxes as well. Also new this year, more qualifying expenses and an increased maximum allowable credit amount for the Wisconsin Child and Dependent Care Credit. Tax filers are encouraged to visit the DOR's website's individuals page to find answers to common questions, forms and instructions, tax credit information, payment options, instructional videos, and other resources.
Meanwhile, it's getting harder for Wisconsinites to afford housing. According to the Wisconsin Association of Realtors, increasing home values, higher mortgage rates, and stagnant incomes have made it tougher for people to pay for their home. Median home prices rose almost 9% across Wisconsin last year. The average home price statewide is now $310,000. Meanwhile, here in Madison, the median home price has been about $430,000 for a while now. Inventory is still low, keeping demand high. According to Redfin, the Midwest is the most affordable region of the country, but now we also have the fastest growing prices. You can find more local stories on our website. Just head to WMDXradio.com. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
The Bills lose in Kansas City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Buffalo Bills lost the AFC Championship game to the Chiefs 32-29. The Bills had the lead 10-7 in the second quarter, despite losing defensive back Christian Benford after he was carted off the field with another concussion. Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
You know, losing CB hurt us early there. You know, had a chance to convert a fourth down there, fourth and short. And then another fourth down late in the game there. It looked like we had a chance to catch it. Didn't work out that way.
The Chiefs are headed to their third consecutive Super Bowl. Head coach Andy Reid.
I'm proud of our guys battling. I mean, Pat Mahomes was phenomenal. You know, Travis Kelce, their leadership, Chris Jones. They didn't waver at all, and they know when to have fun, but they also know when to bear down.
The Chiefs will take on the Eagles, who beat Washington 55-23. NBA, the Bucks are in Utah tonight to play the Jazz. College basketball, the Badgers with a blowout win at home over Nebraska, 83-55. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Increasing clouds and warmer today, but it will be windy. A high near 42, but again, the wind. Southwest winds 15 to 20 miles per hour, gusting as high as 40 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, still breezy with lows right around 20. Right now, it's 42.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on this show, the Wisconsin Supreme Court race now getting attention from the New York Times. We'll break that all down and wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening, hanging out with us. We certainly appreciate it. Got GSPS on the board, and you can be a big part of the show, as always, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. A big show, as always, lined up for you fine folks today. Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, our favorite Delano Democrat. He's joining us at 5 o'clock Central Time. We'll catch up with Harvey. Other topics as well. Today, 80 years ago, the liberation of Auschwitz. It is the Holocaust Remembrance Day today. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. Seems a little closer to home these days than perhaps it should.
Indeed.
We'll get there as well. Immigration here in the state of Wisconsin, and of course, nationally, the kerfuffle from Donald Trump regarding the Colombians. C-O-L-O. I mean, come on. They misspelled the press release. I mean,
can you imagine if that happened under the Biden administration?
Oh, my God. You know, if I put a social media post, I know I'm a little behind on that. I'll get there. But if I put something out with, like, misspellings or something like that, I retract it, redo it. Oh, my. I actually know some folks from Colombia, and one time when I was messaging with them, I spelled it wrong, and they quickly let me know that I spelled it. So we're going to go there as well, and of course, we'll take your calls, 855-75-CIVIC. I brought it up last week, and I want to kind of revisit this in the face of the national discussion about immigration, and number one, how you feeling, folks? We're 1 week in.
Oh, boy.
I feel great. I feel good.
Really?
I'm feeling good.
Yeah, you came into the studio today all bright and chipper, and I'm all hunched over in my switch. I'm like, ugh.
I know. I've got a lot of sleep, a lot of rest this weekend, got a lot done. I was very productive. It was. I'm in a good space right now.
I'm really glad to hear that.
You know,
at least one of us is.
Sometimes I'm crabby, you know.
But I'm the crabby one today.
You see, thank you. So I got you.
Thank you.
Here's one of the reasons why.
Okay.
The crap show that we see all of last week and all the things bouncing around. Well, what did we talk about before in the past? You know, my big therapy for all this is worry about things you can control and control those things. Make an effort to have an impact on those things that you can actually have an impact on. And the other things that are outside of our control doesn't mean that we just ignore them. You know, we know what they are. You take a little tidbit, put it in your pocket, save it for later because it's going to come up again. It'll be fine. You know, you'll have it for an opportunity to discuss with some of your mega friends, perhaps. But worry about the things that we can control. And I think we start there. It's a good space. And then, as we've talked about a lot here, look at what Donald Trump says. And look at what Donald Trump does. And I'll take it even beyond that. And how does that go away from the norm? We're going to get there a little bit. There's some reason for this. So bear with me, 855-752-4842. As we mentioned last week, Wisconsin Republicans to unveil immigration targeting immigration bill targeting law enforcement. Oh, yeah. This is from the CBS58.com. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss told reporters that we will unveil legislation that would force law enforcement to cooperate with federal immigration officials carrying out deportations. Now, if you've been aware and reading over the weekend, there had been some, you know, U.S. citizens caught up, some tribal folks caught up in these immigration sweeps. Problematic, certainly. And if you're one of those folks, I'd fight like hell and sue like hell. Do everything you can legally to protest because now it's within your purview, right? If you're one of those caught up, you fight back. You don't take crap from anybody. That's the rule around here. Back to CBS 58. The announcement that, again, here's what Voss said. It's going to require that everyone is going to have to follow the law and cooperate with ICE, said Assembly Speaker from Wisconsin, Robin Voss. He did not provide additional details on the bill. Now, the announcement comes after two police departments, Beloit and Janesville, issued statements earlier this month telling residents they will not engage in immigration enforcement or partner with federal officials on mass deportations. And the article goes on and talks a little bit more about those folks. Evers said about this, I know there's a lot of angst about what may happen in the days, months, and years ahead. Let's agree that we can continue to be a state that enforces our laws when and if they are broken, but still embraces our shared history and all those who have helped write our Wisconsin story. A lot of migrants helping write that Wisconsin story.
Yeah, man.
Some of them not documented, some of them documented. Lots of them working on Wisconsin dairy farms and manufacturing and agriculture and so forth.
In every sector, service, aspect of our
here
lives.
Here we are, folks. And this is what gets me, Robin Voss. So easy. Oh, what's this? Write a bill and we'll have. Oh, okay.
One big beautiful bill.
What kind of funding are you providing for the local police departments engage?
Dom, you know that's not included
in immigration enforcement, which is of course a federal responsibility. Are you going to provide the funding, and how much is that funding, and how are you distributing the funding? Where are you going to hire the people? And this is where it just becomes asinine. WISN.com. Milwaukee police pushed to recruit new officers with 2025 budget that did not meet their recruitment goals for 2024. Wait, what? It's a difficult, challenging environment nationwide to recruit police officers, said the fire and police director from Milwaukee, Leon Todd. Now, the Common Council, again, in Milwaukee, recently approved a 2025 budget, includes more than $314 million for the Milwaukee Police Department. Damn! This allows for three police academy classes with 65 recruits each. Unfortunately, with the same goals this year, recruiting fell short. The class started in March with 46 recruits, graduated 37. The class started in August with 33, down to 30. And now the December class will have between 25 and 30. MPD will likely graduate 95 officers out of the 195 officer goal for 2024. Okay, what's the budget, and how are you hiring the folks? You know what I'm saying? You can't. Hey, I got a great idea. Everyone just do what the feds tell you, man. You know what? I want the local police officers dealing with the local issues. You know, with the crime and the crazy driving and those kinds of things. You know, the property crimes and the violence and the murders.
These hooligans.
Kids these days. That is their prerogative. That is their purview. That is where they're supposed to spend their time, effort, energy, and money. $314 million coming out of the Common Council budget
for
MPD. Nothing. Yeah, you know, we live in Milwaukee, Jess.
Yeah.
These are our tax dollars. You know what I don't want is a guy like Robin Voss coming in, trying to tap into our $314 million and say, hey, oh, yeah, by the way, go do the federal job with officers that you can't even hire to do the job that they're supposed to be hired to do. Tell me the details. Tell me the logic on that, Speaker Voss, please. Inquiring minds want to know how, why, who is going to make this happen. See, folks?
We're going to be waiting.
We're going to wait because obviously that's problematic. Milwaukee taxpayers do not want, I do not want, just I'm not speak for you. What do you think about your tax dollars being going to subsidize federal?
No, absolutely not.
No, you think that you wouldn't want to do that?
No.
Please?
No.
But what if they're getting rid of the violent illegals? Or more likely, just what, raiding farms and factories?
Yeah, no thank you.
No thank you. No thank you. That's not their purview, Robin Voss. That is not the job of the fire and police commission in Milwaukee to determine and allocate resources to do a federal job, sir. So while I get that you're grandstanding for the topic of the moment, dude, do you even know what you're talking about? I think you do. I think you're a pretty smart guy. So maybe that's why in this article there were very little details provided by Speaker Voss as to how, why, what, who, what, where, why, huh? Huh? Question mark. So there's some of the issues. We have a labor shortage, we have finite resources, and you have the grandiose plans of what? Of a Speaker Robin Voss and the other Republicans, I'm sure, going along with Donald Trump to what? Deport a major percentage of our labor force.
Surely this will bring down the price of eggs.
Oh, that's right. Mm. Thank you for that. Mm. Just where are the executive orders on bringing down costs? What is the action to bring down inflation? Well, Donald Trump over the weekend got into a little tit for tat with the president of Colombia regarding receiving planes of migrants that were being shipped back at a cost of $800,000 per flight. Is that what I saw? Like $80,000 per migrant? I mean, you kidding me? 80 grand per? Man. Well, we do understand, as the Republicans have so evidently articulated, that cost doesn't matter. In these regards, cost doesn't matter. It's about the law. Or is it? Except when it comes to pardoning, you know, the J6 police.
Well, remember, Don, political violence is totally fine as long as it's in service of Donald Trump.
And we some of the reporting over the weekend on, again, I think we need to continue to push these things we can't control. Hey, Republican elected official, you know, pick one guy. Who's the guy, the Riley cat from Wisconsin who
pepper sprayed.
Pepper sprayed, yeah. And he put on social media from Wisconsin.
He got proud of it.
He was proud of it. Pepper sprayed these cops so bad they went home and took their clothes off. Woohoo! Party time! Excellent! What are you, Bill and Ted? Yeah, man, that's not okay. And there's worse examples than that. And we have some, I think J.D. Vance was interviewed over the weekend. He had some comments on that. Senator Ron Johnson from the great state of Wisconsin, he was on Up Front. He had some comments on that.
Indeed.
It's amazing. Like, all of a sudden, they're all about law and order. Except. When it's these guys, and then it was overreach. Oh, was it overreach when they beat the hell out of the cops? Well, I don't like that, but generally.
They were just reaching over the barricades.
Yeah, I mean, they stayed within the velvet ropes, if you believe the words that came out of Ron Johnson's mouth shortly thereafter. So these are the things we can't control. Of course, that's bunk, and you call them on it every single time. That's where I'm at.
You know what?
I'm in a good
space. I'm feeling
better
already.
Yeah, see, the things we can control. Oh, some of the things we can't control, the hard breaks. Commercials. So don't get sad because we can't control that. It's out of our power.
Just enjoy the music as it comes up.
And we are going to get to your calls and more on this topic. And again, also some proposals from the Wisconsin State GOP. No tax on tips. Okay. I'm okay with that. Next,
sure.
I'm wondering how much revenue is that going to cost? I haven't seen any numbers like that. But generally speaking, sure, why not? How about whatever we don't tax on tips, we figure out what that number is from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, and then raise the taxes on the top 1%, that amount,
to
compensate for
it.
See what I'm doing? Yeah. I'm so fiscally responsible. Folks, join us on the lines, 855-752-4842. Happy days.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community, and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Callers, texters, be patient. We will get to you on a couple of these topics we've thrown out there today. No tax on tips in Wisconsin, according to the GOP. What do you think? I mean, come on, man. Cash tips. How many people are actually reporting cash tips anyway? Give me a call. I'm just saying.
That's not the government's business.
I'm just saying. But we'll get there. Some folks have thoughts on that. I want to hear yours. And, of course, the pardons and the immigration and things we can control. So let's talk about the pardons briefly here. Senator Ron Johnson, he used to be a regular on the Devil's Advocates back in the day. I haven't talked to Ron since, I don't know, he was involved in a coup against the country.
Oh, right. There was that.
Yeah, there was that. And I kind of hold that against you, Ron.
Well, I mean, he was only trying to discount your vote, Don.
I mean, and don't forget and yours.
Mine.
Yours.
And mine.
He was on Upfront, at least the real journalist, quote unquote. We'll have him on and talk about specifically the pardons. I want to throw this out there. Here's what he had to say regarding the pardons on WISN. This is also a joint effort up front with our pals over at WISP Politics. Quote, "There was a grotesque miscarriage of justice throughout the Biden administration," Johnson said. "Certainly as it relates to people that participated in January 6th, a lot of that misjustice had to be rectified. I would have probably gone at it a little more cautiously, but in the end, I think President Trump said, let's just pardon them all. I don't have a real problem." Let me just repeat that.
Yeah, let's hear that one more time, please.
"In the end, I think President Trump just said, pardon them all. I don't have a real problem."
Huh. You know, I have a problem with the person who is supposed to be the chief executive of the country taking a, let's just do it all.
Do it all.
Let's not take any focus. Let's not look at anything on a case-by-case basis, even though that's what we said we were going to do over and over and over again.
Nah. Well, he's not, you know, presumably he's not running again, right? Unless, you know, the Republicans want to give him another term. That was another thing.
Well, I mean,
right.
You know, unless
but
they
again,
want to.
But again, the things that we can control, and here's Ron Johnson, we cannot vote for him next time. He does not have a problem with that. "I don't have a real problem," he goes on to say. "I think the people who did commit violent acts, I'm not sure I would have pardoned them. But I think they served jail time, and you have to really take a look at what jail time they serve versus, for example, violent criminals in New York and California that are just being let on the streets." You know, You know, murderers don't even do time anymore, says, you know, Republicans who are law and order or assault and battery
and corruption.
And corruption. So there was Ron Johnson. And Trump said, F it, pardon them all.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he said.
That's what he said.
Contrary to what everyone, you know, leading up to that. I'll be very specific, case by case.
Well, I know that President Trump doesn't like people who are bad to cops.
Yeah, well, of course he does, because he just released
clearly
them all.
He does. Clearly. Well, as long as they're in support of him.
And so does Ron Johnson.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, and the Republicans, and so does J.D. Vance, the Vice President of the United States. He went out on the Facey the Nation-y with Margaret, Face the Nation, J.D. Vance, Margaret Brennan. You know, Trumpy social, you know, social truthy, all yeah, that. All right, yeah, anyway, here yeah is the vice president on the January 6th rioters and the violence that they perpetrated against the police. Cut six, please, Jess.
He has used an electroshock weapon against a policeman who was dragged out of the defensive line by plunging it into the officer's neck. He was imprisoned, sentenced to 12 years, 7 months. He got a pardon. Ronald McAbee hit a cop while wearing reinforced brass knuckle gloves, and he held one down on the ground as other rioters assailed the officer for over 20 seconds, causing a concussion. If you stand with law enforcement, how can you call these people unjustly imprisoned?
Margaret, you're separating. There's an important issue here.
Yeah, please.
There's what the people actually did on January 6th.
She just
and
told
we're
you.
We're not saying that everybody did everything perfectly.
Perfectly.
And then what did Merrick Garland's Department of Justice do?
They prosecuted
in unjustly
them.
Prosecuting
they did
well over 1,000 Americans in a way that was politically
is
motivated.
Is violence like that against a police officer ever justified?
Violence against a police officer is not justified.
Oh, really?
That doesn't mean that you should have Merrick Garland's weaponized Department of Justice expose you to incredibly unfair process.
It's so unfair. It's so unfair. Of course, the non-answers. The answer is, of course, yes, they are down. They freed those folks, and they can't even bring themselves to say, I would not have pardoned Riley from Wisconsin.
They cannot say.
They won't do it.
Any case in which, this one gave a cop a concussion.
How about
something
that
can be life-threatening,
okay, right,
permanent brain damage.
How about this?
Totally fine.
VP Vance, if someone had those, you know, brass knuckle gloves on and beat the hell out of you, and you got a concussion, would you like to see them prosecuted and sent to jail or set free?
Mm.
I'm just asking, because inquiring minds want to know, sir. 855-752-4842. Oh, these people. Anyway, let's get to it. Let's go to Jack from the Mac. You are up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Well, yeah, this is what happens when you elect a convicted criminal to office.
He sure does, man.
It favors other criminals.
But Jack, yeah, here's the thing. The enlightening part of it all is kind of like the fake Christians who were freaking out over that bishop, you know, dressing down Trump by having the temerity of asking for mercy. The fake Christians, these are the fake law and order folks, man. It's the same thing. Things they claim to be, but when the rubber hits the road and it's their guy, everyone gets a pass, Jack.
Well, of course. The Supreme Court basically said that Trump can do no wrong, no matter what he does.
Yeah.
So you're going to see stuff like this. This, though, and the immigration stuff, and I predicted that they would end up probably trying to deport thousands, if not tens of thousands or even more, American citizens, because this is like the old Nazis. If you've ever seen any of those World War II based films, the old ones,
yeah,
where the Nazis would walk around and they would say, show me your papers.
Yeah, well, man. Yeah, that's where we're at.
I don't know anybody that carries their citizenship papers,
no,
their birth certificate, no, their passport. Jack,
you know what? And thank you for the call and the observation. I'm going to lean so heavily on my white privilege if those cats ever come around me, man. And I hope everyone else does the exact same. Folks, we got lots to get to today. Harvey K coming up at the 5 o'clock hour. More of your calls and comments and texts at 855-752-4842.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Local radio for you and your community.
It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson. In the race to lead the Democratic National Committee, Wisconsin's Ben Wickler is one of the favorites. He's facing Ken Martin of Minnesota and former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley. Wickler has been touting his record as a successful fundraiser here in the Badger State. And now seven governors have endorsed him, plus Governor Tony Evers here in Wisconsin. Four of those governors are voting members themselves, including Laura Kelly of Kansas, Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, Andy Beshear of Kentucky, and Michelle Lujan Grisham of New Mexico. They've also each urged members in their states to vote for Wickler, which could give him a big boost. The election to be chair of the Democratic National Committee is on Saturday. Wickler has been chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party for 5 years. And DeForest was tapped to get Wisconsin's first Buc-ee's. A Texas chain of convenience stores as beloved there as our native Quick Trip is here. It was supposed to be along the interstate near County Highway I, but the plan hit a snag. Buc-ee's asked the village to share the cost of improvements to the roads surrounding where that new location would go. The stores are so popular, it's believed the current infrastructure couldn't handle the traffic. Now, the DeForest Village Board plans to ask state officials for help with that funding. Meanwhile, Buc-ee's staff had hoped to break ground in 2024 and open this year, but with the issue still up in the air, they haven't started the project yet. Meanwhile, they've announced a new Wisconsin location. They plan to add one in Oak Creek, also off the interstate. Here's Stuart J. Waddles.
The proposed 74,000-square-foot convenience store and fueling station would be located on the southwest corner of I-94 and Elm Road. The project, featuring 120 gas pumps and EV charging stations, faces two public hearings before a potential March vote. It could open in early 2027 if approved.
So now it remains to be seen which city will have the first Buc-ee's in Wisconsin. I'm Savannah Tomei-Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for a new hobby that requires almost absolutely no activity, consider herkel-derkeling. It's a centuries-old Scottish tradition. Herkel-derkeling translates to the art of lazing in bed. The practice encourages people to stay in their pajamas and not get up. Most of us consider this being lazy or depressed, but if you use the phrase herkel-derkel, it makes it sound more clinical. Still probably not an acceptable excuse for being late to work. Now, hotels are encouraging people to take a herkel-derkel stay. Yes, by all means, go spend a few hundred bucks a night to stay in bed and not do anything. Money well spent. Amy Schumer says she might actually be canceled after admitting to hooking up with a fan. She talked about the experience on the Call Her Daddy podcast, saying that a professional baseball player who was a huge fan visited her for a rendezvous in her hotel room one night. She goes into more detail on the podcast. Let's just say they did more than herkel-derkel. Schumer's new comedy special, Kind of Pregnant, drops February 5th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Increasing clouds tonight, low 20s. For tomorrow, early clouds, then breezy with some afternoon sun and warmer. Highs in the mid-40s. Mild temps stick around for the rest of the week. Upper 30s on Wednesday, near 50 Thursday, upper 30s Friday. It's 42 right now.
Looking to turn your valuables into cash this Valentine's Day? Gordy's Midwest Fine Jewelry and Coins is here for you since 1985. Look for the big green awning on the corner of 4701 Monona Drive. Gordy buys your coins, gold, silver, watches, stamps, silver dollars, and paper currency. They buy, sell, trade, and repair, offering top dollar in paying cash for gold. Stop by today and experience the difference. Gordy's Midwest Fine Jewelry and Coins. Call 608-221-4242.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh,
well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the
ear. Right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and founder of Chip's Money Tips, Chip Chinnery, and filmmaker Nathan Demming, who is touring Wisconsin to promote his film February. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 till 8.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842-855-75. Civic folks are light it up. I do appreciate it. Going to get to you next. But I know we got Harvey K coming up, our favorite Delano Democrat. He's the professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. He's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. So we got lots to talk about Harvey as well. Always love when he comes around on Mondays. And so I don't slide this one in here. I don't know where we're going to get it. But,
but we need to get to it.
I just got to say, I mean, Foxy Don't Call It News, topped ranked show with Jesse Waters.
Yeah, bringing us the content that we really, really need.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a man's man.
He's a man and he knows what it means to be a man.
He is a man's man. What is best in life? Here's what he had to say. If you would just play the clip. It kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah, sure.
Here you go.
The New York Post caught her grocery shopping with Dougie Fresh. What kind of husband goes grocery shopping with his wife?
should we give just a touch of context here?
Sure.
Sure. Okay. So we just have a little video of Kamala Harris going grocery shopping with Doug Emhoff. It's a normal human thing to do.
Well, yeah, if you're woke and cucked. Are you kidding me? Who goes? You know, and literally when I saw this, I was on the way when I was, my wife was driving. And
Where were you going, Dom?
I was going to the grocery store.
My God.
I mean, we were running errands. It was part of the errand. I mean, Jesse Waters, don't think you're going to be moving in on my girl, Jesse. But we really, who would go to the grocery store? Wait, we play it one more time, please, just because it's so stupid.
Yeah, sure.
The New York Post caught her grocery shopping with Dougie Fresh. What kind of husband goes grocery shopping with his wife?
I'm sorry, man. I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, one that likes to get a little love once in a while, Jesse, you know. I don't know what you're thinking here, brother, but I think it's fine, folks, if you go grocery shopping with your spouse, I guess. I mean, he's specifically saying men.
Indeed.
You men out there. Mm-hmm. I'm just here to tell you it's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, what about all the single men out there? What do they do?
They can't grocery shop, Dom. That's a woman's job. I've heard it said, Dom, that if a man goes grocery shopping, he transitions into a woman.
Oh, like if he votes for a woman.
Like if he votes for a woman.
Oh, man. That's crazy stuff. Yeah. All the fine facts and opinion coming from Foxy Don't Call It News. So thank you for that, Jesse Waters.
Welcome.
And you're Jesse.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss. No, I'm not even going to compare that. Jess, P.S. on the board, 855-752-4842. You can go grocery shopping with me anytime. Joe from Madison, let's get your thoughts. Welcome. What do you got, Joe?
I think Jesse needs some help. A whole lot of therapy.
He needs a hug, Joe.
Yeah. I find it interesting. I mean, maybe now is the time to do a quick survey of what men have been asked. Could you please run down and pick up some Campex? And how many kind men have said, okay, honey, I'll get it done. Don't worry.
My mom broke me in early, Joe. She used to make me go pick up the feminine napkins and a carton of Virginia Slim menthol lights. You know what I mean? Come on. I can't go buy that, Mom. But back in the day, you could.
Yeah.
Son, I know that's not for you.
God, that's perfect. That's just perfect if those are the two things that she would want. Just give me some steak and some necessities. You know what I'm saying, honey? And it's made you a stronger person.
That's right.
That's a better full person. I wanted to touch base back on the questions that you had about, with the Robin Voss, we're going to unveil new legislation that says that all local police must cooperate with the feds when it comes to an immigration raid. Okay. And you were wondering about, okay, let's talk about numbers and let's talk about money. And I remember you talking about Milwaukee Police Department saying, God, we don't have it. We don't have the money to be helping out. And it just begs the question, what does it mean to cooperate? Does that mean that, you know, you put, let's just take the example of, okay, there are 70,000 plus, they say, illegal immigrants
within the state of undocumented workers who make up a large percentage of the workforce in Wisconsin. Okay, let's go to dairy, which is something that you have some interest in, and as do I. They estimate that it's at least 10,000 undocumented workers who work in dairy, and if they aren't there, dairy collapses. Dairy is also done in a rural area, generally, okay? What are the resources there to drop everything and help the feds? How does that work? Do you say all local sheriffs to stop what they're doing and help the feds? If this is a raid that's going to last a long time, who goes? How many? What are they expected to do? Do they follow the orders of the – what does cooperate mean? Yeah. I mean, are they under the jurisdiction of the feds? Who's paying for this? If you don't have enough locals, does that mean that State Patrol has to jump in? DNR agents or wardens have full arrest powers. Are they supposed to be assigned? We've got a budget surplus. Are we supposed to be hiring people to just help the feds do this work? What does it mean to cooperate? And it's just, and what are the financial ramifications of that, particularly in these small rural areas? Typically, Robin Voss has offered this another one of his brilliant ideas with no thought, no planning, no. You know, what's the money cost on this? Don't you usually have to do some sort of money cost on a state legislative venture? Doesn't it run by financial people to say what's the cost?
Yeah, have the LFB break it down. Right, exactly. And is there going to be reimbursement if we're spending time and effort and money on a federal job? Because here's the deal. With these limited resources and hiring challenges, let's call it, there's opportunity cost. I mean, for real, if someone's doing that job, they're not doing another job. It is a zero-sum game for the amount of law enforcement officers that we have. Do you want those folks focused on the local crime issues or going out and doing the feds job and trying to round up quote-unquote illegals?
Especially when one of the very, very sad things that's going through our rural areas is problems with fentanyl and other very serious drug problems.
Yeah, there's other problems, Joe. I mean, for real. Yeah, for real. Thank you for the observation. Certainly appreciate it. And that's why I think, you know, some of this is bluster. That's why one of the reasons I'm in a good mood, because here's the deal. Donald Trump's not doing anything that Joe Biden didn't do before him, or that he did before, or that Barack Obama did before him, and so on and so forth. I mean, Barack Obama's administration deported more people than than Donald Trump's administration. You know what I'm saying? And the Biden administration, according to the Raw story, that under the Biden administration, in Colombia, you know, where Trump had this big problem, they accepted hundreds of Colombia accepted hundreds of flights returning its deportees every year. Hundreds every year under the Biden administration. But you know what? There were adults in the room. It was just a matter of business. They just went around it. I mean, hundreds a year. So I'll call it 200 in 1 year. All right. That's what? More than one?
4 a week.
See what I'm saying? More than every other day, a flight of deportees going to Colombia without incident, without newspapers, without people freaking out and tariff this and tariff that. Because at the end of the day, Donald Trump is really proud of doing the job that everyone else did, keeping their mouth shut, just doing the work. Now, apparently,
he's really proud of really struggling to do the job that anyone else managed
right,
to do.
$800,000 a flight. Now, I don't know what it was under the Biden administration, but damn. Apparently, the president of Colombia expressed outrage over the military planes and the treatment of its deportees. So certainly how the administration treats those folks, those deportees, could vary, no doubt about it.
Yes.
Brazil, I think they were hot. From the headline I've seen, they were hot, handcuffed and feet were tied. I mean, what? So, again, point being, the Joe Biden administration had hundreds of these flights to Colombia a year, and no one said boo, and no one freaked out, and no one made a thing about it. Because some people just are the professionals walking and do their job. And I'm assuming, since I haven't heard the president of Colombia freak out on the Biden administration, that they were treated with kindness and grace. You know what I'm saying? That's the difference. The guy is doing the job, and he's like, hey, look at me. I'm doing the job. You come in and break it and then act like and then try to fix it and act like you're the savior of everything. But that's not the case, yo. That's not the case. 855-752-4842. Claire from Sun Prairie, you are up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom.
Hey, Claire.
Does this work good on speakerphone, or do I need
to? I hear you just fine, my friend.
Okay, good. I love to have fun with a calculator.
Yeah.
And I don't see that anyone's done this. This pledged to deport 11 million people.
Uh-huh.
At the rate that they're going now, assuming that first day of Columbia had taken them, you know, I don't want to go down through all my numbers.
All right, right.
Everybody use your own numbers.
There's some assumptions there here, Claire. We'll go with that.
So it comes out 68,750 flights, and it's going to take 98 years. At the present rate.
Did you say 98 years?
I mean, the hell with the cost. It just can't be done.
That's I love it when people put pen to paper, use the calculator. Claire, fun with calculators. Appreciate it, man. Right. That's not going to happen. I think lots of folks realize that's not going to happen. And if for some reason, somehow, some way it did happen, the impact on the labor force in this country would be devastating. But at the end of the day, certainly Trump's trying to ramp it up. Apparently, he's not very happy with the response so far because they're not doing much more than...
Has Trump ever been happy, though?
But again, no, I mean, that's the thing. So in the meantime, he's stuffing his pockets, doing his corrupt stuff.
Oh, certainly.
And the rest of us talking about these issues. But of course, I'm concerned about my fellow citizens and migrants here in the state of Wisconsin. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This was problematic for me, especially we start talking about U.S. citizens getting caught up in whatever. So while we got to recognize that there's a lot of shiny objectism going on here, it's also empowering to know that Donald Trump is trying to be a big shot, just doing the job that Biden and Obama did before him without freaking out, without stamping his finger and tweeting everything out and all that kind of stuff. We have in this country have immigration laws, and we have deported people every single day for who knows how many years. You know, the statistics are out there. So is Donald Trump wanting to do more? Yes. Is he doing more? Not really. Is he ruffling our allies' feathers in doing so and making a big stink about what? Doing the same job that everybody else did without having a problem?
So is it that he, at least at this point, is on par in terms of numbers of people deported? But it's the manner in which he's doing it. It's the manner in which people are being treated. It's the places where people... where ICE agents are raiding, it's the U.S. citizens being caught up, and the manner in which Trump is attempting to get these people out of our country.
He is strong and wrong. And you can be weak and wrong, and you're still wrong. You know what I'm saying? So, again, act like you've been there before. And I think that's important for the rest of us to recognize as well. Now, yes, certainly the Trump administration is going to try to dial it up. But the math is the math. Thank you, Claire. But recognize that he's making a big deal out of doing the job that everyone else did, was keeping the mouth shut and their head down and doing their thing. Tells you something about that, about Donald Trump. Of course it does. 855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton, you're up. Welcome. What do you got?
Well, I just wanted to go back to when you were talking about the January 6th and Trump letting all these people out.
Yeah.
I heard him on some right-wing wacky station the other day talking about how all these people from January 6th have spent years and years in prison. Really? I don't think hardly have been in prison very long. And how this has just destroyed their lives. Well, what about the people who got killed and maimed? Weren't their lives destroyed?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this man is such a flippin' idiot.
And it's not, and Cindy, we got to remember, it's not just him. He is enabled by the vice president, J.D. Vance, when he fails to properly address the very real concern and question about letting violent criminals into the street. If this were a Democratic president, a Democratic administration, you know, those writings would be all over it. People like Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson going on up front over the weekend saying, well, you know, I really have no big problem with that. Really, dude? Really? You get punched in the face with a pole? I think you'd have a problem with that, man.
Yeah, but he wasn't. It wasn't his face.
So why, you know, why, then the question is, why should someone else's rights be subjugated to what? Somebody you believe in. Everyone's got the equal rights, man. Everyone has the right to not get punched in the face with brass knuckles and a glove. I mean, that's just what we got. And when you do that, that's assault, and people should be punished for it. Otherwise, people are just going to go around and randomly start punching people in the face when they don't get what they want. And that is what this action has done. It's empowered the MAGAs. 855-752-4842. Holocaust Remembrance Day coming up next.
a new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You know Ignite Glass and Gifts' three locations in Madison, but you can also shop igniteglassandgifts.com. You'll find grinders, lighters, collectibles, hand-blown glass water pipes, artistically designed jewelry, and plenty of other items delivered straight to your door or to family and friends. Madison's favorite for glass, gifts, and vape, Ignite Glass and Gifts, Monona Drive, Williamson Street, and Odana Road. Plus, igniteglassandgifts.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Equal Protection Clause, embedded in the U.S. Constitution's 14th Amendment, is now being used to dismantle the 1965 Voting Rights Act, opening the door to even more voter suppression. Why is its history important? The 14th Amendment, passed in 1868 and granted citizenship to formerly enslaved African Americans. The Equal Protection Clause reads, "No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws." Scholars agree that it was intended to stop states from discriminating against Black Americans. Yet, as the National Constitution Center points out, it was also used to justify the U.S. Supreme Court's Plessy v. Ferguson, allowing discriminatory, separate but equal schools, transportation, and accommodations in 1896. Another interpretation overturned that decision in Brown v. Board of Education in 1954. In 2023, it was used to eliminate race-based affirmative action for college admissions. U.S. Supreme Court conservatives, notably Justices Alito and Thomas, argue any consideration of race is a violation of the Equal Protection Clause. How might their interpretation impact voting rights? More on that in our next report.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin-Green Bay, going to join me in the next hour. So stick around. We love our favorite Delano Democrat. We've got some callers holding. We'll get to you as well, 855-75-CIVIC. Of course, today, as we mentioned briefly, Auschwitz liberation 80 years ago today, which is... seems like a long time ago, but then seems some ways like yesterday and somehow still relevant today. The dangers of fascism, let's call it, and the dangers of the others, let's call it. Some comments on this today. The UN Secretary General, Jess, made some comments on this, and I have some other notes that I'd like to add to this. But let's hear Antonio Guterres, the United Nations Secretary General, on International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Cut one, please.
Remembrance is not only a moral act. Remembrance is a call to action. To allow the Holocaust to fade from memory would dishonor the past and betray the future.
To allow the Holocaust to fade from memory. Elon Musk calls for Germany to move beyond Nazi guilt. No kidding. Elon Musk said that? What, it must have been. Oh, that was yesterday.
That was yesterday.
That wasn't a seagull. Oh, no, no. See, he comes out, keeps saying these things, folks. So I'll let you be the judge. But, you know, you heard what the UN Secretary General just said. And then you heard what I just said from Elon Musk, which you can find on the interwebs.
And on the show notes.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Let's hear more of the UN Secretary General, please.
Antisemitism is still with us, fueled by the same lies and loathing that made the Nazi genocide possible. And it is rising. Discrimination is rife. Hatred is being stirred up across the globe.
International Holocaust Remembrance Day, the final cut from the UN Secretary General.
One of the clearest and most troubling examples is the spreading cancer of Holocaust denial. and disputable historical facts are being distorted, diminished, and dismissed. And efforts are being made to recast and rehabilitate Nazis and their collaborators. We must stand up to these outrages.
Stand up to the outrages.
Every time.
Don't take crap from anybody. I'm telling you, this is what it is. And what a time. And I got to share with you, I've been, my buddy Haas, and maybe Haas and his mom Annalise are listening right now. Annalise, his mother, is in her 90s, and she grew up in Nazi Germany. Mm-hmm. And so when we hang out, and she's still with it and hanging out with us and love to visit. Hopefully I'll see them actually this weekend, Haas. Boy, when you talk to someone who was a teenager during the Nazi regime, mm-hmm. that's kind of strange.
Yeah.
Like this isn't ancient history for Annalise.
There are still people alive who remember the rise of fascism in Germany, who lived through the Weimar Republic, who saw this glimmer of potential of what it could be to have a voice and autonomy in the governing process and to have it stripped away in the most brutal possible way.
It is a lesson, right? And history doesn't repeat itself, but it sort of
sounds rhymes.
As we were trying to figure out when we're going to hook up and hang out over the weekends, and he's got some other buddies wants me to meet. We're gonna do that. It'll be a fun time. He shared with me some YouTube, mm-hmm. historical footage of description of the attack on Stalingrad, which I watched, and I'm mm-hmm. just like, man, this is, again, you see it in black and white. It seems like long ago,
but, right? It seems like it's a different world.
Yeah, but it's not. And it's not in the mentality, the human species has not changed much. If you're going to go and try to rewrite the history. No, man, you don't. The Germans shouldn't get what it must specifically say, that they should move beyond the Nazi guilt, quote unquote. They move beyond. Germans shouldn't do that any more than Americans should move beyond slavery.
No, we need to remember.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's certainly shameful, but it's not a shame for us. It'd be a shame if we don't identify it, honor it, and pledge never to let that happen again. Man, 855-752-4842. Mark from the SAC, you'll have the last word this segment. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks so much. And it's awful hard to remain FCC compliant.
Do it, though. Do it.
Please try.
I will do it. And with Vice President Vance making the idiotic statement that he made, that each and every, and as I've said before, each and every one of those people that breached the barricades, including current 3rd District Representative Van Hollen, were in violation of the law.
Van Orden.
Each and every one of them broke the law. Each and every one of them should be subject to some kind of penalty. I mean, this nonsense, oh, they were just so innocent and all this, BS. They actually violated the law by breaching those barricades, and they were part of, if you rob a bank, and if you are just somebody who's with the bank robber, and they come out and say, well, I just robbed the bank, you're part of that bank robbery. Each and every one of them enabled the violence. Even though they didn't commit the violence, they enabled the violence by being part of that mob.
Yeah, man. I mean, and they're all part of it. And I think we need to continually hold them responsible. Go through the list of violent attackers who beat those cops. Just grab one. Put that one in your pocket, and every time and when it comes up, or hell, or even bring it up to some of your mega friends when they're talking about law and order and all that kind of garbage that they obviously don't believe in, and bring that to their face. Bring it to them, example, and have them explain to you.
Just make it make sense.
Yeah, make that make sense. How that is a priority, or that is not the priority over someone who might have expired or stayed longer than their papers would have allowed. Folks, come back with us. Harvey K. We're going to talk about the party of militant liberalism. Come back with us. 10 bucks in my hand.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangents with our friend Luke Mathers. Find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Siebertson. President Trump's to sign two executive orders to reinstate U.S. military service members removed for refusing the COVID vaccine and directing the Defense Department to determine a policy on transgender service members based on readiness. The U.S. and Colombia reach an agreement over deportation flights. ABC's Karen Travers.
That could have had a devastating impact on their economy if that tariff had gone into effect. The president also threatened that in a week he would raise that to 50%. The Colombians said that they would put in their own tariff in response, but this is not a trade war that the Colombians want to get into, that tit for tat with the United States on this, given how significantly they rely on this country for trade.
The Trump Justice Department says it's fired more than a dozen employees who worked on criminal investigations into President Trump. Ceremonies today for International Holocaust Remembrance Day, exactly 80 years after the liberation of Auschwitz. This is ABC News.